our great Savior. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. 822.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends, they fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me
my old friend, the preacher. Sunday morning. Slipped on in the back row. It's sure been a long time coming. Tell me, preacher, what I need to know. His words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinner, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Wanna see my Savior's face.
That's good. That's good.
Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are in the Gospel of Matthew going verse by verse, and we are in the middle of what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the message that Jesus preached to his subjects. He was sitting on a mountainside, and the children of Israel, those who were gathered there, were down below, and he was preaching to them. And what he was preaching to them is what it will be like when he comes back to set up his kingdom here on this earth. A lot of the teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, many times pastors and preachers like to apply them primarily to the church age, and that's a very difficult thing to do consistently. You do have to keep in mind that the teaching going on in this message is for a age to come, when the Lord comes back, sets up his kingdom, rules over Jerusalem, and he's going to rule out of Jerusalem, and the nation of Israel will be his subjects and the Gentile nations round about. For 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign on this earth. Things are going to be different when he is here. A lot different than they are now, okay? And we can be thankful for that. Well, now we come upon a passage in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, where he talks about their giving. And this would be kingdom teaching on giving. And I'm going to take this little section that he's going to talk about here as an opportunity to teach what I believe is also correct giving for the church age. Now, I think I might as well just start right out so that if any of you are wondering, what am I going to be preaching about? And is he going to preach about tithing all the time? I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. I do not believe in tithing as the only way for giving unto the Lord. I don't believe in it. And I will give you the reasons why in my passage here. In verse 1, let's take a look at it here. Jesus says this, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms..." And that would add reference to when you give, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. First of all, I started out by telling you I don't believe in tithing as necessary for the believer in the church age. And I say it this way because I've heard many preachers, and I would just refer to them as tithing preachers, are very strong in calling upon the people of God to give one-tenth of their income to the church. I mean, they make it so strong, and they put such cursings and blessings upon it that you're afraid to move to the right or to the left on the matter. And I've always rebelled against that, okay? I've always rebelled against it. I believe rather that you should give as God has prospered you. And I'm going to give you scripture verses for all these things that I'm going to talk to you about today. But in that, many times preachers are very strong on that. I mean, they just pound the pulpit, you know, and scream and holler and everything about how you need to give a tenth or God's not going to bless you or your children are going to get sick or your business is going to fail if you don't give a tithe. And of course, the tithe is not just a tithe of what you take home. It's a tithe of the gross. So, you know, you got to figure before taxes and everything. You know what? This thing just gets to be beyond what I believe the New Testament teaches concerning giving. And giving should be a blessed time. It should be something you enjoy doing rather than have it as a burden upon you. So, first of all, the kingdom teaching the Lord gives concerning giving here is giving is to be secret. That's pretty much the focus of the verses here. When you give to the Lord's work or whatever, don't sound a trumpet like the hypocrites do in the synagogues in the streets. Can you imagine that? That's what they would do. Men actually would say, well, I'm about to bring my offering to the treasury of the temple. I want trumpeters to go before me. Whoa, can you believe this? And they would, Rabbi so-and-so is about to bring his offering. And in comes a big wagon pulled by a horse, you know, with all kinds of things he's given. He wants everybody to see. Well, the Lord says of them, they have their reward. They got their reward. He says to you and me, verse 3 and 4, but when thou doest alms, and this is the way it's going to be in the kingdom when the Lord's there. There's not going to be anybody trumpeting. The only one who's going to be given glory in that day is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one who everybody's going to be praising and singing hallelujah to and for and about. None of us in the kingdom are going to be, you know, worthy of any praise from people. He says, when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And the Father, who is still up in heaven while his Son is on earth ruling and reigning, the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. The Lord will take care of the rewarding. So, today's tithing emphasis, and if you don't know what the word tithing means, the word tithe means one-tenth. One-tenth. And it has reference to the Old Testament, reference to it, of giving one-tenth of whatever you've got to the work of the Lord. At one time, it was the tabernacle service, then the temple service, and the priesthood. God intended that one-twelfth of the tribes of Israel be supported by one-tenth of all the income of the rest of the 11 tribes. There were 12 tribes of Israel, correct? One tribe was the Levites. They are responsible for the ministering of the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrificing and everything and bringing everything unto the Lord. God instructed that 11-twelfths of Israel should give one-tenth of everything they have to the tribe of Levi, so that they can spend their time doing the work of the Lord and not have to go work. Well, of course, as you know, Israel didn't always do their tithing like they should. And many of the Levites had to go out and till the land and make a living on their own. And that was wrong for them. God gave them the commandments and told them to do that, and they should have done that. And I do believe that tithing in the Old Testament is what God wanted. But we are not under the law, and we are in the New Testament age. Today's tithing emphasis is very close to what the hypocrites did in Jesus' time. You know, if you're told by the pastor of your church, you must give one-tenth of your income to the ministry of the Lord, what is there for you to think about? Or to pray about? Or to determine? Nothing. You just have to do what he says. You got to give one-tenth. How do we give to the Lord's work in the New Testament church? Bear with me as I take you through the scriptures that I find in the New Testament concerning giving during the church age. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 8. You say, yeah, I've heard. I know some preachers, boy, they tell me I've got to give a tenth, and if I don't, this or that or whatever. Well, I'm going to give you what I believe the Bible says you should do as far as giving to the work of the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, there it is, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And that means liberally. Just give out of your liberal heart. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. But there you see, he that giveth, let him give a tithe. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. What opportunity, if the tithe was to be taught to the church age as a legitimate responsibility, what greater opportunity than right there for the Apostle Paul to put it in the scriptures? But he didn't. He just says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now this is the favorite passage of most independent Baptist preachers who teach tithing and push it upon their people to do it. Oh, how they love this passage of Scripture. First of all, you're not going to see the word tithe in it at all. And yet they get it out of there somehow. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now, this offering was not even for the local church of Corinth itself. This offering was being taken for saints mentioned earlier in the book of Corinthians. And that would be the saints down near Jerusalem, for they were suffering great persecution. And the other churches, the Gentile churches, were being called upon to help them out by the Apostle Paul. That's what this offering is about. It has nothing to do with the Sunday morning gathering of the tithes and offerings of God's people. It has nothing to do with it. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Well, see there, Pastor, that means on Sunday. You got to do this on Sunday. Well, okay. I'm okay with that. But I still don't believe that it's a in-church offering. It's for saints outside the church, okay? On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. See, this offering wasn't even for Corinth. It was to be taken down eventually to Jerusalem. But within this passage, they will say this in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And they immediately go to the Old Testament passage in Malachi, where it says, bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouses, and I will cause the blessings to fall down from heaven upon you. And of course, the teaching just goes on and on. I mean, it's like a, what do they call that board on a swimming pool? A diving board. It's like a diving board to jump off into another subject. They really ought to stay on the diving board, all right? And not jump off into something else. Stay on the diving board and preach the word. Preach the word. But no, they'll say, see, that first day of the week, you're to bring it in store. The store is the local church, and that's like the storehouse, like the temple of the Old Testament, and they brought their tithes, so you need to bring your tithes here. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what this passage of Scripture is teaching at all. In fact, to do that, you have to inject that whole understanding into the passage. It's not for that at all. But notice how much they're supposed to lay by them in store. As God hath prospered him. Now, if there again was ever a chance for the Apostle Paul to establish tithing as the responsibility for the church, put it right in there. Bring your tithes. But he didn't. He says, as God hath prospered him. That kind of leaves it up to you to have to determine that, doesn't it? You have to say, all right, well, this week I took in so much. Next week, I didn't take in as much this week. So, Lord, how much do you want me to get? See, you're talking to the Lord about it now. You're making a decision between you and the Lord. Instead of, well, the pastor wants a tithe. No. God wants from you as he has prospered you. All right, next verse, 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 12. For if there be, first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's my favorite verse in the Bible, by the way. If kids ever ask me to sign their Bible, I always put that verse in there for them to look at. Because I think it's a tremendous verse. I think it's how God wants me to respond to him. For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You might not be able to give a tenth one week and pay your bills and your responsibilities and feed your children and put clothes on them and put them in school and things like that. You may not be able to do that if you give one-tenth of the gross. Not the net pay, the gross. I mean, that's the way they always preach it. I don't know any Baptist preacher who preaches tithing that doesn't demand a tithe from the gross. Let me just put it that way. I don't know any. I never hear them give a little leeway and say, well, look, it's not from your gross. How about you just take it from your net pay? Well, thank you, Pastor. It's almost like, whew, at least he's not totally strict, you know. Verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, and this refers to the days when they picked up manna every day outside their tent doors, the children of Israel, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. You know, God does not look at the amount as much as he looks at the heart as it gives. And I think that too many ministries in Baptist circles, for example, are too involved in how much rather than how is your heart as you give. And I would encourage you to make sure you're giving out of a heart of love and appreciation and thankfulness for what God has given you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just you're probably pretty close there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Again, if there was ever an opportunity for Paul to teach the responsibility of tithing, put it in there. Put it right there. Tell us. But he didn't. This is the Spirit of God speaking here. And the Spirit of God says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. By the way, the word cheerful in the Greek is pronounced this way, hilarion. hilarion. So what English word do you hear?
Hilarious.
The Lord loveth a hilarious giver. There should be a lot of laughing going on when you go over to put your money in that box over there. That's just the way I am. Okay, silly sometimes. But the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And if you are under bondage to a demand to give a tenth, and you've written out your check, and you're kind of saying, oh, boy, that's a lot of money, and oh, can we afford it? Can we? And you're all worried like that, and you go and put that check in there. You're not a hilarious giver. You're not a cheerful giver. You're giving out of bondage. You're giving out of necessity. And Paul's already said some words that that's not the way God wants you to give unto him. Continuing on in this passage, go down to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now, I hear the constant drum roll. You tithe, God blesses. You don't tithe, God curses. I hear that. I've heard it all my years being saved. You say, well, what kind of church do you go to? I was in Baptist kind of churches all my life. And I heard the constant drum beat. You gotta tithe. You gotta tithe. You gotta tithe. If you don't, this is gonna happen. That's gonna happen. This is... It gets drilled into everybody's head. And the ushers come down. Now it's time for us to take the tithes and offerings. And the guys come down and they pass the plate up and down, up and down. And you put your money in there hoping nobody sees. And of course the usher sees. He sees what you put in. Oh, only $5 a day, huh? No, I know that most of them aren't that bad. But you know what? I'm supposed to do my giving in secret. No one should know how much I give. I don't want you to know how much I give, and I do not need to know how much you give. And by the way, there isn't very many tithing preachers around who don't know how much you make at your job and have it all figured out, how much into the church ahead of time. This preacher knows not anything about how much money you have. I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Those guys have to count the money without me being there. I don't want to know. And then they give me the results after because I do take care of the treasury and everything. But I do not know how much you have ever given. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to even guess. Now, for some reason, I may know, but that's only because there's no other way for us to report for your taxes and things like that without me knowing something about it. But by and large, I have no idea what to expect if all of you gave a tithe of your gross income. I have no idea. And I don't ever want to know that. That's between you and God. And by the way, let me just say this while I'm right here now. If you do believe that you should give a tithe, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Fine. That's between you and the Lord. If that's your understanding and you feel that's what you should do, that is good. I do not want to say you shouldn't do that. Or give a 12th or give a 6th or something like that. No. If you're good with that, that's fine. But just don't expect me to do the same. And don't tell me I've got to do the same. And I can't tell you to do the same. And put curses and blessings upon it, which belong in the Old Testament rule of life under the law. Now, 2 Corinthians, by the way, if there was ever a time for Paul to say, give a tenth, it would have been in that passage as well. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm giving you all the places where Paul talks about giving in the epistles. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to give a tithe. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Willing to communicate. The word communicate does have the idea of giving in it. And so there you have Paul saying, look, charge them that are rich, that they don't be high-minded, and put all their trust in their uncertain riches. Be liberal with your giving and give unto the Lord. Give a lot unto the Lord. Sometimes I joke a little bit about the box over there, and I'll say, on your way out, put all your money in the box. You know, I just kind of joking a little bit. Like, we should be liberal. It shouldn't be, well, how little can I give and still feel good about it? You know, no, it should be, how has God prospered me? And I believe I could give this and walk away from it happy, rejoicing that I have the opportunity even to be able to give so that the work of the Lord and the things of the Lord can go on and missionaries could be helped and the poor saints in Jerusalem can have food to eat. That's the way to give. 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians 9 again. 1 Corinthians 9. Now we come right down to the preacher himself, okay? And by the way, I think that you'll see the preacher is personified as an ox in this passage, all right? So you can have some fun with that if you want, all right? But here we go. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Well, the answer is yes. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? The answer is yes. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. And that was written in the Old Testament. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? In other words, all right, if the minister, or the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, whoever it is that's ministering to you in spiritual things, he should expect that you would take care of his carnal things so that he can keep doing that. And that's what Paul is teaching. Now, if there was ever a time for him to insert tithing in there it is. Put it in there. I want a tithe from all the believers to take care of the ministers. But he doesn't. Doesn't say that. Verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Here even the Apostle Paul was saying, others come to you as spiritual leaders and demand that you take care of them. Can't we do the same thing? Ask that you take care of us too. And then verse 12 goes on, power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, he says, I have not asked you to take care of me. Although we could, but I've not. Because I don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. You know what, folks? There are a lot of people who have decided no longer to come to church because they're being told how much money they're supposed to give. So they just decide, goodbye, church. I'm not interested in that. It's just a business that you got going here. All you're worried about is money. All you ever talk about is money. By the way, and the rest of you will have to give credence to this, I hardly ever preach messages on giving. Can you shake your head this way or that way? All right? Just for some of them who might not know me too well, I don't ever hardly preach on giving. Because I don't have to. Because you've been instructed how to give. And I don't have to browbeat you and say, all right, now some of you aren't giving your tithe. I notice we're a little low this month. There must be some of you are holding back. Yeah, come on, that is so sickening to me. So sickening. That's not what we're to do up here in the pulpit. We're to preach the word. And if we're preaching about giving, we're to be preaching the word on giving. Not on that which works. I remember when I was a teenager in the preacher boy program, and I was in a church that was very strong on the teaching of tithing. And I told all the ministers there and the other preacher boys, my co-equals there, that I don't believe in tithing, and they all laughed. They laughed. And the pastor of the church says, well, Gary, you'll soon find out that you will not be able to support a ministry without teaching tithing. 38 years, folks, we're 38 years here. And we haven't done it. And I don't intend to ever do it by God's grace. God give me grace to keep a sound mind. I don't ever intend on teaching tithing as a responsibility or an obligation on your part to this church. Back here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? He's talking about the Old Testament times, the Levites. You know, do you realize how much time was involved in doing the sacrifices every day? I mean, you had the whole nation of Israel bringing sacrifices. Well, they should be. bringing sacrifices for their sins daily. These animals have to be, throats have to be cut. The blood has to be put out. The bodies have to be put on the altar and put up in fire. The priests have to wash their hands in the laver. They got to take care of the table showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. I mean, this is a day-long, 24-hour job. They would do it in shifts. David even gave the shifts as to who the singers should be, who the porters, the people who watch the gates should be. I mean, this was an all-day affair. They don't have time to go out in the field and make food for themselves. They needed to be supported. And that's why God did that. Well, in the New Testament day, we got preachers, ministers. Now, your pastor does have a regular job. I do support myself. But you do also help me in a lot of things, paying my rent and things like that. The church pays for those things and the heat and stuff like that, health insurance, things like that. The church pays for those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul's teaching that that's a good thing. If they've ministered to you spiritual things, you should minister back to them carnal things. So that I don't have to be working my tail off just to be able to keep on preaching, you are able to support to a certain extent. That's what we do here. All right, verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some who say, I don't think a preacher should ever take money from the people. Well, I don't believe that's right. I have the teaching right there. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Taking love offerings and offerings and things like that for missionaries, that's fine. That's biblical. I got scripture for that. Now I want to go a little bit further. Don't let anyone know how much you give. God will reward you openly someday. And maybe even before that. But you're not to let anyone know how much you give. If you want to start at a tithe, fine. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm just telling you I'm not going to tell you you're obligated to do that. Some should give more. Oh, here he goes. some should give more. Because God's prospered them in such a way that they should then give more as God hath prospered you. Listen to this. Others may have to give less in order to fulfill obligations that they have. The Bible says, owe no man anything. And what if you're unemployed? Are you expected to give one-tenth of your unemployment check? I'm going to tell you what. Those unemployment checks do not cover. It doesn't cover the basic needs. And if I'm going to snatch out of that one-tenth, you know what? That doesn't look good. I'm taking food off your table, clothes off your back and your children, keeping kids out of Christian school because they don't have enough. You know what? What God orders, God pays for. What he orders, he pays for. If he's ordered that we have a church, if he's ordered that we have a Christian school, he'll pay for it. Somehow, some way. We don't have to browbeat and scare people, use the tactic of, hey, if you don't give a tenth, you're going to be cursed. If you do, you get blessed. And all these TV and radio preachers, this is a sickening thing where they say, you sow a seed and tomorrow in the mailbox is going to come a check three times as much as you gave to me. That's deceitful. That's almost criminal. It's not criminal because I don't think we have any laws against it, but it's criminal. Well, you sow a seed of $100. You send in $100 to our ministry today. God will multiply that. The only place you're going to get that is under the law teaching. It's the only place you're going to get that. And that's where they always go to preach it and teach it. I can give you example after example after example of people who thought by giving a tithe that somehow large amounts were going to come back to them, and it never happened. Never happened. Because God hasn't set it up that way for us. Others may have to give less in order to fulfill obligations. Debt, unemployment, emergencies, insurance. Oh, by the way, you were told your insurance premiums are going to be lower. They're going to be higher. Okay, somebody told you a lie. All right, and health care, it's expensive. I don't know if you know about it. It's expensive. Now, if you're working for an employer who pays for it, you need to keep in mind that he's paying a pretty big sum to keep you covered for insurance. It's expensive. Those of us who don't have an employer to pay it for us know how much it costs. It costs a lot of money for health care and insurance. And it may be that you can't give one-tenth of your gross income to the church. Now, here's some arguments of the tithers. Because I know the arguments are going to come back. Well, Pastor, what about this? Here's one of them. Well, Pastor, tithing was before the law. It was under the law. So why shouldn't it be after the law? I mean, Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. You can go to Hebrews chapter 7 and read all about that. And that's the reasoning they'll use. This is the argument. This is probably the most strong argument that they have. Okay? Well, what do you do with that? Okay, Abraham, Isaac, they gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Isaac promised he would give, or Jacob promised he would give a tenth to the Lord when he had the experience of the ladder that went up and down. Remember that? And then under the law, under Moses' law, the children of Israel were to give a tithe. So doesn't it stand to reason then that in the church age today, although the Bible says the Lord came to fulfill the law, and we have a new law in our members, it's the Holy Spirit of God guiding us and leading us. By the way, you are not obligated to keep the law of Moses in order to serve the Lord. You have a new law in your very members. The law of the Spirit of God inside you. You're to be led by Him. By no law, but by Him. And He will guide you as to what to give. My response to this would be this. What about circumcision? Abraham circumcised before the law. They circumcised under the law. Are we obligated to circumcise our children now, after the law? No. Now, I know that in America, most baby boys are circumcised within a few days after they're born. But not because of spiritual obligation. We do it supposedly. It's supposed to be for physical hygiene and so forth, things like that. But there's even been talk both ways on that. And it's up to you. But if I was to take the same argument here, tithing before the law, under the law, after the law, circumcision before the law, under the law, after the law, all the boys got to be circumcised. Of course, I don't know how the girls get in on that, but how about this? Sabbath keeping. The Sabbath was given before the law. It was given under the law. Are we obligated to keep Sabbath? Oh, I know what they do. They flip Saturday into Sunday and somehow get us to all do the same thing on Sunday that they did on Sunday. That's just wrong. There's no Bible for that. There's no Bible for it. Why do we meet on this first day of the week? Because it's in the Bible that the Lord appeared unto them on the first day of the week. And you see it over and over again throughout the book of Acts, especially, that on the first day of the week they met to break bread, to hear the apostles' doctrine, to sing, and the fellowship together. That's why we meet on Sunday. It's not because we made Sunday a Sabbath. No, no. The Sabbath is still Saturday and will always be Saturday, and it's going to be for Israel, even into the kingdom age. So that argument does not hold any water. What about this? The principles of these things make a case for tithing. Well, you know, God set a principle up there in the Old Testament. One-tenth. So I think it's a good principle that we should still stick with in the New Testament. Well, you can say that if you want, but I'm going to say you don't. Give me Bible. Give me Bible for it. Show me where Paul taught the church that we're to give one-tenth. Nowhere does he do it. The word tithe is only mentioned about 7 times in the New Testament, and every single time it has nothing to do with a command for us to do it. It's always talking about what was happening in the Old Testament. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 23, 23. All right, they always go to this one too. Matthew 23, 23. They'll always go to this one. And let me just say this to those who might be listening on the internet, might be listening to this later on tape or on CD. You might think, boy, Pastor Freeman's pretty strong. He's being pretty strong in his delivery here on this. I will say the others on the opposite side are even stronger than me when they come at you with the requirement for tithing. But here the Lord says this in Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Oh, see that? That's the teaching of the Lord, that they ought not to leave tithing undone. Folks, when Jesus spoke these words, the law was still the rule of life for everybody listening to him. They were standing around listening to him. And he would not teach them to do contrary to law when that's what they were under. Until he went to the cross. When he went to the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Meaning, you're no longer obligated to that. The way into the very presence of God is made possible. Walk right in. And a new covenant. Law put right in our very members. It's the Spirit of God guiding us and leading us every day. That's the way we ought to go. So that verse also does not teach tithing for today. Paul had ample opportunity to emphasize tithing if it was to be such a major player in church finances. And I'm just going to close with this and say this. I don't think there's any of you who wouldn't agree that in most churches, the subject of giving and tithing and money and everything else seems to be foremost, the most important thing. Preachers can hardly get a 3-point message out without soul winning, baptized, tithing, you know, or soul winning, door to door knocking, tithing, you know. Tithing's always one of the things, always added on. I don't think it should have that position of importance. We're to give as God has prospered us. And if he's prospered you in a good way, you ought to give more. If he hasn't prospered you in a good way, as far as the amount, then you're not obligated to give a huge amount. You give as God has purposed in your heart to give, so that you can be a cheerful giver. When we leave here today, some of you will go over to the offering box, and you'll put your money in there, your checks or whatever in there. I hope you just have a good time doing it, okay? Have a good time doing it. You're not under any obligation whatsoever, except as you've seen in the scriptures this morning. As God has prospered you. For some of you, it might be a dime. Some of you, it might be hundreds of dollars. Or anything in between. Who knows? You know and God knows. And oh, the blessedness there is when you give like that. And out of obligation. Oh, here we go. But, oh, I wish I could keep that. I'm going to put a string on my check. I'll put it in and pull it back out. You know? Nah. If you're that bad off, keep your money. Keep it. Take it home with you. Keep it. Say, preacher, how do you talk? How do you expect to ever keep the church going? I don't know. You just trust the Lord on that. Just trust the Lord on that. And we've trusted the Lord on this all along, and he's helped us all the way along. All the way along. So don't change. Don't be put under the law. I know someone, and I won't mention the name, I'll just tell you the story. I know someone who was in a church, heard the pastor say, if you aren't giving a tithe to the Lord, you're stealing from the Lord. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that these preachers do. You're stealing from the Lord. You're robbing from the Lord. Wow. Well, what do you do with that kind of information out there as a person sitting in the pew? And God might touch your children with sickness due to your lack of giving a tithe, holding back the tithe. That person left that church that day and went to his father, who didn't believe in tithing, and said, Dad, is it true that the Lord could strike one of my children if I don't give a tenth of my income to the church? And my dad said to them, no, that's not true. Give me scripture in the New Testament for that. Show it to me. And what a relief that was for that person. You're under no obligation to give here. You give as God hath prospered you. You know why? Because Jesus Christ gave it all. Jesus Christ didn't give a tenth. He gave it all for you and me. And if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, it won't be through the tithe you give or the obligation you do or I'm not a bad person. It'll be when you trust Jesus Christ who gave it all for you. So why can't we purpose in our heart what to give back unto Him? Maybe for somebody it might be to give it all. Who knows? I don't know the situation, you know. Maybe you're about ready to die. You ought to give it all to the Lord or something like that, you know. But others aren't in that situation. I know there were times as we were going up as family, there were some weeks there was no check. I mean, there was no check. I didn't make any money that week. Guess what? I didn't put any money in the offering that week. Well, you should have done something. No. Listen, don't you be telling me what to do. I have to determine between God and myself what to do. My wife and I need to pray and ask God, okay, what should we give? All right. Does that make sense? Kind of an unusual message, right? I never preach like this. But there it is. I laid it all out. It's out there for you. You take the information. You do with it as God leads you, okay? And don't think that I'm saying you shouldn't even give a tithe. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But don't make it an obligation for somebody else because now you're putting them under legalism. You're putting them under a law. And there's no joy in that. But when you're under the Spirit's direction, that's the best way. Dear God, we thank you for the time we can spend looking at the Bible in reference even to this subject of giving. An unusual message this morning, but that's what we have. And I pray you'd bless it to our hearts. And I pray that the people here would learn the blessedness and the joy of giving as you purpose in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.